All right. If you have your Bible, hope you go back with me to the book of Revelation tonight. Chapter number 5. The Revelation. Chapter number 5. And verse number 1. That I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I looked carefully, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Lord, bless this holy book now. Thy name I pray. Amen. If you notice in verse number 5, he's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yet when we have the actual person, it's a lamb, as it had been slain before the foundation of the world. I want you to think about this tonight. As I told you this morning, there are 3 distinct representations of Christ that we find in the book of Revelation. The first one I preached to you this morning about the glorious, glorified Son of God, hair white as snow, eyes a flame of fire, feet as polished brass, speaks with the voice of many waters, girt about the paps with a golden girdle, down to the waist, all the way down to the ground, with this magnificent, wonderful, gracious attire that he wore, and he held 7 stars in his right hand, and he stood in the midst of the golden candlesticks, and he is the one who sends forth and judges his bride, and he speaks to them. And my friend, because he speaks to them, it's because he knows them, and because we know his voice, and his sheep know his voice, and will always know his voice. And when he speaks to us, he speaks in a manner he does not speak unto the world. But when we get to the Lamb here in Revelation, we get into an entirely different picture. Revelation 19, remember, we have heaven open like a scroll and a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. He comes as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He comes as a man of war. In Revelation chapter number 11, he doesn't come to make peace. He comes to make war. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. But the book of Revelation mentions this Lamb time and time. As a matter of fact, 26 times the book of Revelation makes reference to the Lamb of God. So why is this? Why is it so important? Because the one who is qualified to open the seals, the seal is here to seal it up. In other words, no one has the authority or right to open the judgment of God upon this earth but the one who paid for that right in his incarnation when he was here 2,000 years ago. He bought it at the cross. He bought it at Gethsemane. He bought it with a sinless, perfect life, and he paid for it with his precious blood. And so therefore, in every sense of the word, he's the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said, that taketh away the sin of the world. He said, all judgment has been given to me of my Father, and he's about to unleash that judgment upon the earth. The seals unleash the trumpets. The trumpets, my dear friend, consummate in the vials. And my friend, from the beginning of the seal until it ends in the vials, it gets worse and worse and worse. And the Bible says, except those days should be shortened, no flesh should be left alive. Don't ever let anybody tell you. And they're called preterists. A preterist is one who believes that back in 70 AD, in the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, that the book of Revelation was fulfilled to the prophecies in this Bible. Problem is, it wasn't even written in 70 AD. The book of Revelation wasn't written until about 90, 95 AD, but they've got to ram it back to about 60 or 70 AD in order for it to be fulfilled then. No, don't let anybody kid you. And don't let anybody kid you that you're going through the tribulation today. My dear friend, this is Sunday school compared to what's coming. When it does come, you'll know it. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. When it comes, I'm gone. Amen. Amen. The church of God will be caught up to meet him in the clouds. Chapter 5 and verse 6, he said, amidst a throne, a lamb in the midst of the throne. And they all fall down and they worship him. And why do they worship him? Because he's God. That's why. That's why he's God. He deserves your worship. Lord Jesus Christ in every sense of the word. Revelation chapter number 13, verse 8 says this, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Who's that talking about there in Revelation 13? It's the Antichrist. Yes, sir. And they will worship the Antichrist. They're getting ready for that now. So tonight I know who I worship. I know who I love. I know who I serve. I know who my God is. My God is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 21 in reference to this lamb, here's what it says. To Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. He's teaching us a lesson. A theme runs all through the Bible. First of all, blood must be shed, but blood shed from a living creature. And the living creature would be a lamb, covered by lamb skins. They had lost that primeval glory that God gave them. When God made Adam and Eve, they had a covering of innocency, a covering of glory that where God had made them in his own image. But the moment they sinned against God, they were stripped bare, and there they stood in nakedness and tried to cover it with fig leaves. Fig leaves, my dear friend, can never cover your nakedness. The only thing that can cover that is the blood of the Lamb. So in the book of Genesis chapter number 22 and verse number 8, the theme continues. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both of them went together. Do you like that? They both went together to the top of Moriah. And there at Moriah, God made himself known. Abraham was offering his son as a sacrifice to the Lord. In the mind of Abraham, Isaac was gone. He was a goner. But God intervened and stayed his hand. But Abraham becomes a type of the Father. Becomes a type of the Father who offers up his son for us all. In the book of Exodus chapter number 12, after 400 years of bondage, 400 years away from their homeland, 400 years in a strange land, the Bible says in Exodus 12 verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. How in the world, dear friend, could a lamb cause people or give them the authority and the power to break the power of Pharaoh, to break the power of Egypt, one of the most powerful countries on the face of the earth? How in the world can the blood of a lamb, because the death angel moved that night, the death angel came forth from Almighty God and he smote the firstborn of every house, including the house of Pharaoh and his firstborn. And the only one that could stop that was the blood of the lamb. That's the only one tonight that can stop it, is the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb. In the book of Isaiah 53 verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He willfully chose to subject himself unto God's judgment and wrath. He willfully chose to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So in Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. How many times have you heard where witnessing to Jews, you take them to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and time and again they'll say, I didn't even know that was in the Bible. The reason they don't is because they spend too much time in the Talmud instead of the Word of God. Amen. The Talmud is not the Word of God. So we read in the book of John chapter number 1 and verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. the sin, not the sins, but the sin, the whole thing. Every bit of the condemnation, all of the curse, all of the wickedness, all of the vile was carried away in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Every sin you could ever commit, every sin you could ever cross in your mind, everything you could possibly ever do in rebellion to God was taken care of in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a big deal, folks. Yes, sir. Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 6 again. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Amen. So here we have one who's about to open the seals and unleash the judgment of Almighty God down upon this earth. Does the world deserve it? Is the earth ready for it? Imagine people that live today that think they can live any way they please, do whatever they please, murder right and left with no concern, no regard for human life whatsoever, shoot you down where you're standing. Do you think they can do that and get away with it? This is why God made hell, dear friend. Revelation chapter number 6 and verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's almost an oxymoron. That's almost something that doesn't make any sense. What kind of wrath can a lamb have? Let me tell you what kind. It's the wrath that was bought and paid for. It's the authority that has been given to him now. And notice he doesn't unleash it as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ is not coming in Revelation 19 to punish anything. In Revelation 19, he's coming to take what rightfully belongs to him. He's coming to fight a war. He's coming to meet face on the devil. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who bought and paid for it. Ever remind you, never forget, for eternity there was a cross one day where he was nailed to that tree. And there was a place where they beat his back open with a cat of nine tails. My dear friend, there was a place where he bowed and he prayed as it were great drops of blood. There was a time of suffering and passion and sorrow for the Lord Jesus Christ. No man ever suffered like that man who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. John said, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so he is, so he ever will be, so he'll never lose that identity. No angel could bear that identity. No cherubim, no seraphim, nothing. Not even God the Father, but only God the Son, who went to that tree and died and gave himself for us. And there the Father smelled a sweet savor. The Bible said he saw the travail of his soul and he was satisfied. He drank the dregs to the end. He did what was necessary. He did everything that could possibly be done to save the sinner, my dear friend. His salvation's a perfect salvation. It's a pure salvation. This Lamb of God I'm talking about tonight is not a half thing. It's not some religious thing that you get become part to. It's not some turning over a new leaf. It's not some straightening up your life. It's not some change in your direction. No, 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 no. This Lamb of God that I'm preaching to you tonight is the Lamb of God that'll take away your sin, forgive you, write your name in the Lamb's book of life, save your soul, amen, from a devil's hell. There's not another name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only one. There is none other. As I said to you this morning, God thunders forth from the book of Isaiah and says, there is no God beside me. Well, there's no Savior beside him. No man comes to the Father but by me, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Has he taken yours, dear friend? Has he cleansed you, washed you in his precious blood? Has he saved your soul? Are you born again tonight by the grace of God? Are you a new creature in Christ Jesus? Or are you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet full of religion? You don't know him, but my dear friend, you can know him. Before you leave out of here tonight, you can know the Lamb of God. Amen. That's my hope. My hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I cannot trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Amen. How about you? Do you see it the same way? Oh, yes, I do. The Lamb of God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Glory to God. Revelation chapter number 7 and verse number 14.
The Bible said, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Over and over and over again, you are reminded in the book of Revelation, though all hell breaks loose, though the earth is shaken to its core, though the stars of heaven fall from above, the only one that really matters through it all is the Lamb of God. Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Satan cannot cross the blood barrier. He cannot traverse that. That's a dead stop for him every time. He cannot cross that blood barrier. You learn that in the book of Exodus. When the death angel came through at midnight, he could not cross that blood that was on the doorpost and on the lintel. Well, my dear friend, if he couldn't cross the blood of an animal on the doorpost and the lintel, what do you think tonight he can do with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, believe me. Amen. Revelation chapter number 5 and verse 12, it says, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and there are multitudes of creatures that we don't even know exist, but every one of them one day under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. The day is coming when all of creation will say, Bless the Lamb. Bless his holy name. Revelation 5, 8 and 9. Look what it says. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Notice that, which are the prayers of the saints. Amen. The saints' prayers never get lost. They never fall to the ground. They're kept up in a place of sacredness where God Almighty holds them. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And what did they do? They worshiped the Lamb. Yes, they did. Amen. I don't have a hard time worshiping him tonight, do you? Amen. I don't need some worship leader to show me how to worship Christ. Amen. No, no. Just turn loose the songs of Zion. Let the Holy Ghost move in this house. Let God come into this place for a little while, and you'll see worship. You'll see real worship when God's people in their soul stand up and say, Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not what I used to be. My sins are forgiven. Hallelujah to God. Do you have something to glorify God for tonight? I do. A lost, wasted life. And then he saved me. Blind, and then he saved me. Unknown to God, and then he saved me. And thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Well, preacher, I got religion. It taught me to be quiet. Yeah, that's what's wrong with us, amen. Much of dead orthodox religion. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 7, verse 17, For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them, unto living fountains of waters, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Why, my goodness gracious, that's a lamb that's a shepherd. Can you imagine? A lamb that is a shepherd. Say, who is that good shepherd, great shepherd, chief shepherd? Who is that? That Bible's talking about. Anybody know who that is tonight? Somebody tell me. You better believe he is. There's none like him. Over there in the book of Zechariah, there's an I-D-O-L shepherd too. Yeah, the idol shepherd, not I-D-L-E, meaning not doing anything, but I-D-O-L. What is that? That's an idol god. And there's an idol shepherd. And Zechariah talks about him. Revelation 13, verse 8, And all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain the foundation of the world. So what we have is competing worship here now. Competing worship. You make your choice. Which one are you going to worship? As the prophet in the Old Testament said, Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Which one? Joshua said, It's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Well, let me say that to you tonight. If I drop dead before I make it through that door right there, as for me, my glory to God, you hear me? I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ till I draw the last breath in this body. He's the only one worth living for. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And the Bible says in Revelation 14, And I looked in verse 1, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, the voice of many waters, the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Who are these people? These are Jews, folks. These are Jews in the tribulation period. These are Jews that know the Messiah, the Mashiach. They know him. They've trusted him. They know he's the Lord Jesus Christ. And they go out to preach his word. 144,000 of them. 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is why I do not believe that any Gentile takes the place of a Jewish tribe. I do not believe it for a moment. I believe they still have their identity, and I believe the 12 tribes of Israel will be the 12 tribes of Israel when they show up in the tribulation period. The Bible said in chapter 17, verse 14, Revelation, these shall make war with the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Hold on. You just identified the Lamb here as the Lord God Almighty himself. Amen. You identified him as the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, he is. He certainly is. In Revelation 19, verse 13, the Lamb, notice carefully, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called what? The Word of God. Why, that's the word in John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, the life is the light of men. The light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Amen? But the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Amen. When he speaketh the word, he speaketh of his own, for he's the author of it. Amen. When the devil lies, he lies of his own, for he's the father of it. But when Christ speaks the word, he speaks of his own. Yes, he does. In Revelation chapter number 19 and verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes, he is. Always will be King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm a premillennialist. I believe a millennium is coming. I believe a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. I believe the Jew will be exalted to his rightful place in the Holy Land. It'll be separated. It'll be segmented for all the 12 tribes of Israel. I believe the throne of David will be exalted, lifted up in Jerusalem. I believe the light will go forth from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And all you've got to do is follow that light, and it'll take you straight to Jerusalem. It'll be a time with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. It'll be a time when the plowman overtakes the reaper. It'll be a time when this earth is never known before, when a man will live 1,000 years almost. It'll be a time where that there's going to be peace and joy, and the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There's no way in the world that I can spiritualize that. That's a reality that's going to happen, folks. That's why I'm premillennial, not amillennial, not postmillennial. I'm premillennial. It hadn't happened yet, but it's going to, sure as you hear me. He said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. The earth will be reborn. It'll go through a time of new life. And the earth, and the Bible said, the mountains will shout and clap their hands and glorify God. Amen. You say, you're crazy, preacher. I'm happy too. How are you doing? Had your medicine today yet? All right. Where am I here? Revelation 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, what that word omnipotent, what does that mean? Omnipotent. That means the same thing as almighty. They're synonymous. Omnipotent, all power. That's what it means. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready. What's this, preacher? This is going to be a long table. You talk about a feast. We've never been to a feast like that one will be. And we'll sit down, and it'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Have guests there. We'll have guests. The whole family of God showing up as guests. But you see, it's the marriage supper, not of the guest. But it's the marriage supper of the Lamb with his bride. That's us.
There's a spiritual union that takes place between Christ and his bride. If it did not take place, there'd be no future for humanity. But my dear friend, because of that spiritual union between Christ and his bride, all can in the future be born of the Spirit of the living God. For they are begotten by Christ. It'll be his seed that he talks about in the book of Isaiah. He shall see his seed and shall be satisfied. Cut off from the land of the living, yet he'll see his seed. He saw me, hallelujah to God. That made the cross a little easier to bear because he didn't die for a thing. He died for men and women. Amen. He died for you. He had your name on his lips when he said, Father, it's finished. I've paid what needs to be paid. Hallelujah to God. It'll be for the bridegroom. The Bible said in Revelation 21, 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb of the temple of it. In Revelation 21, 23, the Lamb is the light of the heavenly city. Look at it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Notice constantly over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, your attention is drawn to the Lamb of God. Say, preacher, do you believe the Father's proud of his Son? Oh, yeah. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Here they're talking back and forth and back and forth. He said, listen, this is my Son. Hear ye him. That's what he says in Hebrews chapter number 1. God, who at sundry times in divers manner spake in time fashion the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the end of revelation of the Father, and rightfully so. Who wrote the book of Revelation? John, under the inspiration of the Son of God. Amen, folks. The last word, the canon of Scripture, is closed. In the book of Genesis, we have paradise lost. In the book of Revelation, paradise is regained. In the book of Genesis, creation of heaven and earth takes place. But in the book of Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth, and I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. In the book of Genesis, the curse enters sin, sorrow, suffering, and death. And if you live any time, you'll know what I'm talking about tonight. You'll carry the body of someone near, dear, that you love dearly, and you'll be separated from them in this life. But you can take heart because you'll see them again. They know the Lord Jesus Christ. The curse enters sin, sorrow, suffering, and death. But in the book of Revelation, no more curse, no more sin, sorrow, suffering, or death. I don't know how to act in a world like that. Would you? Good night. No death, no suffering, no sorrow, no sin. In the book of Genesis, they have the tree of life. It's guarded. Cherubim with a flaming sword to keep the way to the tree of life. But in the book of Revelation, the tree of life is restored and men can eat of it. And then finally, there are four rivers watering the garden. In the book of Genesis, the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Delight. In the book of Revelation, there's a pure river of the water of life coming forth from the throne of God, which will be at the top of Moriah when he sits down and he reigns. Revelation 22:20 says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. In plainer words, when I come, it'll be quickly. That's what that means. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, the apostle cries. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now that's how the Bible ends. The apostle says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. Yes, sir. I don't think a man could have been more weak and could have been more yielded and could have given himself more than the Lord Jesus Christ did. He gave everything he could give. He gave it all. And when he gave it all, the Father received it all. And then the Bible says, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name of which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, I'm gonna jump the gun on you tonight. Jesus is Lord. Do you believe that? Oh, yes. I confess him tonight. You better believe I do. In every sense that I possibly can, he is Lord. Amen. He's not a Lord. He is Lord. King of kings and what? Lord of lords. Father, bless your word. Thank you, Lord, for one more time. Thank you for being with me tonight. thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Father, for the measure of strength that you've restored to my body. Wind that I have in my lungs now. And I'm able to do what I couldn't even do a few weeks back. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless your word now. It's gone forth, Father. You're the one to be glorified. I'm the messenger. I'm finished. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I can't save anybody, Lord. You know that. I can't lift anybody out of the pit. I can't do that. But the Holy Spirit can. And so we pray, sweet, sweet Holy Spirit, be able to move in this house and do his work in thy name. Heads are bowed. Nobody looking tonight. Would somebody say, Preacher Lawson, are we close to the tribulation? I do believe we are. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And my life, what is it? Midnight, man, it's nothing but a vapor here today and gone tomorrow. 70, what's 77 years? That's nothing. Huh. To eternity? Why, that's nothing. But the Lord's coming. He's coming back. Are you ready? That's the answer you need to answer to. Are you ready? The Bible said, for such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Such an hour as you think not. Did you know that the Father hath reserved unto himself, God the Father has reserved unto himself the time of the second coming of Christ? Even the Son does not know. God has his reasons for that. But the time will come when he'll say, Son, go back and get your bride. And that's when the rapture takes place and we meet him in the clouds. Are you ready? Bless your word, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. Go ahead and lead us in a song there, Brother Wilson.
Church hymnal, page 119.